Well, unfortunately, I know that there are a lot of you right now that are in the middle of real pain and you're hurting deeply. And there's no doubt about it. When you're hurting deeply, that is very, very, very hard. But there's another kind of hard that we don't talk about often in the church. And that's the hard season when you're functioning and you're showing up and you're doing all the right things, but inside something still feels off. It's not that you're falling apart completely, but you're still living consistently discouraged. It's not that you're battling with ongoing depression, but you're also not really happy and thriving. You're not in a crisis right now, but you still don't feel at peace. That place is what we call the middle. You're not in a horrible place where life is falling apart and you feel like you're about to break down, but you're also not experiencing the breakthrough and the joy of the Lord in the way that you know you should. That's the place we call the middle. Not a horrible place, but it's definitely not where you want to be. And when you're stuck in the middle, you actually start to ask different types of questions. You're not asking like, God, are you there? Do you exist? But you're asking God, why don't I feel you right now? You're not asking, am I even saved? You're asking God, why am I still struggling with the same thing I've been carrying for so long? And for some reason, we don't talk about that place a lot in the church. We talk to the extremes. We talk to the times when you're down and you're out and you're hurting and you're desperate. We talk about the breakthrough, the miracles, the power of God. We're good at talking directly about the hard times. God is close to the brokenhearted. He sees you in your pain. When you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. You cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And we're really good on the breakthrough. God can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony. You're blessed coming in. No weapon formed against you will prosper. In a moment, God could heal you. You're good at speaking to the difficult times. It's a longer walk than I realized, and we're good at celebrating the breakthrough times. But what about when you're not falling apart, and you're not fully restored either? Where is God when you're stuck in the middle? If you've been there, or maybe you're there right now, not horrible, but not great, I want to tell you that you are not alone, that God is with you. And I want to promise you, our good God is still at work, even when you feel stuck in the middle. We're in our message series called Heal Your Hurting Mind. And I want to review where we started last week, because this isn't really like a four-week message series. This is kind of like a four-part message that we're building on week by week. Last week, we looked at the reality that in order to understand where you are, you have to know how God created you. God is a triune being. He created us in His image. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God created us as spirit, soul, and body. God cares about all of you. In other words, you are not just a body, and you're not just a body with a soul. What is the soul? The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. But you have to understand how God designed you. What are you? You are a spirit with a soul that lives in a body. Primarily, you are a spiritual being that has a soul that lives in a physical body. And that's why when you call on Jesus, those of you who've been spiritually born anew, you are saved. I should say it, you know, in a moment, it's the breakthrough. It's the salvation. The old is now gone. The new has come. Spiritually, you're made new in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You are a new creation. And that happens in a moment. We learned that last week. Salvation is instant. But sanctification, becoming like Jesus, is a process. Salvation happens in a moment, but healing of the soul takes time. You can be saved instantly when you call on Jesus, but your mind, your will, and your emotions, they're renewed over time. So today we're going to look at a story in the Gospels, and we're going to see a moment where healing is actually not instant. Sometimes healing is instant, but in this story, we're going to see that healing is progressive. And it actually comes in stages. We're in Mark's Gospel today, chapter 8. And I'll start in verse 22. This is the Word of God. It says this: "They came to Bethsaida, and some people, we're going to come back to that, brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked him, 'Do you see anything?' And the man looked up and said, 'I see people, and they look like trees walking around.' Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly." Now, if you're a student of the Bible, you may say, "But wait a minute. I thought that Jesus put mud on a guy's eyes and then had him wash and he was healed with one touch." If you think that, you're actually right. There's another story in John's Gospel, John chapter 9, about a guy that was blind, and Jesus spit on the ground and made up some mud and put it on him. Jesus touched him one time. When the guy washed it off, his eyes were healed. So in one story, he's healed with one touch. In this story, it actually takes two. Same Savior, different process. So let's dive into the Word, but we're going to look at verse 22 that tells us this. They came to Bethsaida, and some people, it's interesting, this is the second time we've seen that phrase in Mark's Gospel. Some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. The phrase, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. We talked about another story in Mark's Gospel where it said some people brought a man who couldn't walk to Jesus. Some people brought someone in need. The last time, they couldn't get into Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof and lord their friend down. This time, they just bring someone to Jesus. And what's interesting is that Mark doesn't tell us who some people are. There's no names. There's no background. There's no details. Because the point isn't who they are, but what they do. They don't need names because I think Mark perhaps was trying to show us that this could be anybody, right? It's ordinary, everyday people, just like you and just like me. Just some people that are not even named. They have the faith to bring their friend to Jesus. And God used ordinary people to start a miracle. The blind man couldn't start on his own. Notice what these some people, these friends, did and did not do. Notice they did not try to fix the blind man themselves. They didn't try to be the Savior. They didn't need to have all the answers. They didn't try to heal him themselves. They didn't pretend they knew the solution. They just got their friend to Jesus. And Mark's gospel, when you look at how often he shows us that some people brought and some people brought, the gospel shows us clearly just how much we need each other. Because there are moments, and many of you are in one right now, moments you are never designed to do alone. Because one of the enemy's oldest tactics is to isolate you, to take you away from support, to take you out of the body of Christ. Because if he can disconnect you, he can discourage you. And when you're isolated, that's when the lies are the loudest. And that's one of the reasons why some of you are hurting right now. Well, I don't need people. And I don't need to open up to people. There's some of you watching online that like, I don't need the church. I'm just going to consume content. And I'm not saying that's not bad, that's good. But if it has all you without the family of God, you're missing something that God wants to give you. And that's why we talk about it all the time. If you don't have strong Christian community, how do you fight off the attacks of the evil one? Because I can't do it by myself. I need the prayers of God's people. I need the encouragement of God's people. I need the correction of God's people. I need the support of God's people. I can't do it without him and his people, and neither can you. Because if the devil can keep you disconnected, he can keep you stuck in your sickness. And many of you, you're stuck in some place right now in the middle. And you can relate. Not falling apart, but you're not living the life that God wants for you either. And sometimes you're like the blind man. You're hurting. And you're not strong enough to take the next step. It's in those moments you need some people. You need the body of Christ. And God uses ordinary people to help carry you when you can't carry yourself. And other times, you're not the blind man, but you're one of the unnamed people. You're some people. You notice when someone's hurting, and you care about the one that's struggling. And when other people step back, you don't. You step in because you care and you love and you carry them and you carry their burdens. and you may never get any credit, and you may not even see the full miracle, but God uses people like you to start miracles that others could never begin on their own. And what I want you to see is we are designed by God to experience God with people in community. We best experience Him with those together because He created us to know Him and to love each other. And so if you're one of the ones right now that you're carrying someone, you're trying to bring someone to Jesus, you've got a spouse that needs hope and healing. You got a child that's breaking your heart, that's running from God. And you're praying every day for help, protection. Do whatever it takes. You got a friend that you love, someone you're believing for, you're standing for. What I want to tell you right now, take this to the spiritual bank. Never underestimate what God can do when you simply bring someone to Jesus. You point them to Jesus. You pray them to Jesus. You invite them into His presence. And if you're like the blind man, and you're hurting right now, and you're struggling emotionally, here's what I want to say to you. And I want you to hear this. I want to tell you, if more than one person in your life knows you and loves you and cares about you, if more than one person like that tells you that you need help, you probably need help. And I want to tell you that it's not an attack. That's actually love and kindness. And if right now you feel like God may be speaking to you, what I'm going to tell you right now is He's speaking to you. You are not here by accident. You are not alone in the middle. God cares. I care. We care. The people around you care. And He's not going to leave you stuck in the middle. Jesus sees this guy. And He does something no one asked Him to do, and no one expected Him to do. Scripture tells us this. He took the blind man by the hand. I like that. What did He do? The first thing He did is He touched the blind man by the hand. He reached out and grabbed him by the hand and led him outside the village. When He had spit on the man's eyes, which is admittedly odd. If I pray for you today, I will not spit on your eyes. I'll just pray because I'm not Jesus and He can do that. But I'm not going to try. When He spit on the man's eyes and put His hands on him, Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around. I see something, but it's not completely clear." I love the imagery. The first thing Jesus does is He takes the man by the hand and walks with him, because healing is often a journey with Jesus. And then He asks the guy, "Do you see anything?" And he's like, "I see people. They look like trees." It's kind of, you imagine what it's like to see for the first time. He could see this guy. He can sort of see there's people that look like trees walking around. Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he answers honestly. Jesus knew the answer. He's not asking for information. He's asking the guy to be honest about where he is. And he doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't say, "Oh, I see completely." He doesn't tell Jesus what he thinks Jesus wants to hear. He says, something's changed, but I'm not all the way healed. I'm not completely. It's not completely clear. And that's where many of us are right now. You're stuck in the middle. We might have been in a really bad place, and then we experienced the presence of God, and he touched us, and we're in a little better place, but we're not completely healed. He did something very, very real, but it's not finished yet. And so sometimes instead of just calling what it is, not as bad as I was, and I'm not already there, instead we get scared in the middle. Instead of admitting, well, we're not whole, but we are better, sometimes we just pretend like we're fine. Or we just assume something went really bad wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe God let me down. What I want you to see is nothing went wrong because Jesus doesn't make mistakes. This guy was a little bit better. He was partially healed. But what I want you to know is that partial healing is not failed healing. It's healing in progress. It's healing in progress. And so what I want some of you to see is like you may be doing better than you think. Some of you. Now, some of you are in a really bad place. But some of you are making progress. Maybe someone betrayed you. You've got real hurt, a real deep wound. Maybe some church hurt, and you're not fully healed. But you find yourself back in church, and you're thinking, I didn't want to forgive them before, and now I actually do want to forgive. I haven't forgiven them yet, but I want to. Guess what? That's progress. Or you may say, I still feel anxious. I battle with anxiety, but I do know what I do. I do know what to do. I have some tools. I've got some verses. I know how to cast my anxiety on God. I'm not completely healed, but I'm better than I was. That's progress. If you find yourself still battling with some negative thoughts, but you recognize them faster, and you do capture them, and you've learned, you don't do it every time, but you do it some of the time. You replace those lies with special truths, because you're not going to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not all the way there, but you've made progress. Maybe you're in the middle. You're not overwhelmed, and you're not at peace. You're not panicking every moment, but you still have some anxiety. You're not at rock bottom, but you're not doing great either. You're in the middle. You're in the middle. And that's exactly where Jesus meets you. Not where you were, not where you hope to be, but exactly where you are. And the good news is, he doesn't leave you in the middle. He doesn't leave you in the middle. Look at God's word, verse 25. The Bible says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Once more, once more, once more. Jesus touched the man once, and then he touched him a second time. Jesus touched him once, and Jesus touched him again, once more. Not because the first touch failed, but because sometimes healing is a process. And so this is a message for someone here, someone watching that you know. He touched you once and you experienced his presence. And you experienced his power. And you knew his forgiveness. The same Jesus that touched you once stands ready to touch you again. If you find yourself still battling with anxiety, and after prayer you still have some and it's still there, I want you to hear this. He has not given up on you. To the one who's fighting the same temptation and you've fallen and you stood back up when you confessed it and you tried to overcome it and you slipped back into it again, Jesus isn't finished with you yet. He's not mad at you. The same power that touched you once will touch you again. To those of you who are disappointed, you think I should be further along by now, by this stage of life. I thought I'd be doing better. I thought I'd be making more. I thought I'd have someone with me. I thought I'd be further along. I want to tell you right now, a hurting mind is not a broken mind. It is healing in progress. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter where you are, our total incomplete goal isn't just healing, it's dependence on Jesus. It's needing him. And that's where I am right now. I want you to know right now, where I am is a lot better, but not all the way better. I'm a lot better, but still have some anxiety. I'm a lot better, but still need the Word every single day. I'm a lot better, but I still need God's people every single day. And guess where I am? I am at the point where I have been the whole time, dependent on Him. His power, His truth, His people. Not all the way healed. I'm still a sinful, broken body and no total healing until heaven. But completely dependent on the power and the presence of a good God and His people right where I'm supposed to be. If you find yourself there right now, you're in the middle. You're not all the way there. You're not better. You're not broken beyond repair. You're in the middle. And Jesus never leaves you in the middle. What I want you to hear is he finishes what he starts. The Bible tells us that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion, into the day of Christ Jesus. If he touched you once, he stands ready to touch you again. If you've experienced his goodness, he is still good. He still loves you. He's not finished with you. If he touched you once, he stands ready to touch you again.